I was walking on the beach. I got my little guy out and started talking to him. And this is what I said. Listen.
Hello.
And incidentally, the noise you hear.
I want to speak to you today on the subject of the holiness of God. We speak of Him being so holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. We sing a song like that too. You know, I've been speaking about God and His Son Jesus and the Holy Ghost for 62 years. I've delivered over 12,500 messages. And during this time, certainly I've been aware of the two sides of the coin. There is the side of the coin that's love of God, and the other side of the coin labeled God is the wrath of God. We spend so much time from our pulpits talking about the L-O-V-E of God, the love of God. How wonderful is the love of God? And that's so cool. But you know, dear people, I think there comes a time when we need to see what's on the other side of the coin, and that is the wrath of God, which is omitted from many of the pulpits of our land. Speaking so much on the love, people forget that God does have wrath because He is against sin. He is against evil. For example, He's against the sin that's in my life. He is against the evil that's in my life. And because of that, we have to recognize that God does have that side which is wrath. Even you and I have two sides of our coin, so to speak. We have the love, oh, we can be so loving, and there are times when we can be, ooh, and you know what I mean. So, to backtrack just a little bit, back to the holiness of God, I think that it's only been within the last month, I believe, when I have really been impressed with the H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S of holiness, the holiness of God. And I'm trying to wrap myself around that. What is the holiness of God? God is so holy, holy, holy. For example, sometimes before I go to bed at night, and few people know this, but I would lay down on the floor, and I would worship the Lord. And as I would do this, I would recognize, how is it that He can actually listen to me because I'm so sinful? And then, of course, instantly it comes to me that it is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus that makes me accessible to the throne of God in all of His holiness. The holiness of God. And that's what I want to speak to you about now. God is so holy. How are we going to understand that? For we sing that song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So, I'm walking on the beach and I got my thoughts, so I just started talking and the wind was blowing and I would see the beautiful waves coming in. And all that just reminded me of the greatness of God, the beauty of God. And so I just talked to my little guy here, and now you've heard what I said when I was there. So we want to talk about what's on the screen, the holiness of God. And so to start off with, you know that song, Holy, 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 say it if you will. If you're still awake, let's do it again. Holy, holy, holy. Of course, all of you know that it was written by Randall Herber, of course, 1783 to 1826. He was a bishop at the Church of England. He wrote the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, in 1826, a little before my time, although I'm 81 years old. Okay. He wrote it for a Sunday celebration, but he died at age 43. And his wife found the song among some of his writings, and she passed it on to a noted musician, John Dakes, who composed and arranged the hymn. This guy wrote 57 hymns during his lifetime. Of course, you want to know this. His most famous hymn was from
Greenland's ice mountains, which exhorted missionary efforts to be made in the more difficult and remote cultures and climates. Anyway, this hymn, Holy, 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 which you saw as you were enjoying the refreshments, just reminds us how holy, holy, holy he is. And like I say, it's just been recently that I understand how holy he is. So let's just backtrack. Before it was, there was nothing. Agreed? So, before nothing, there was nothing. What is nothing? Thank you very much. Nothing is nothing. But out of nothing, God stepped into nothing and produced something. That's what this Bible says. So before the creation, there were no rocks, there were no trees, there was nothing except nothing. But God, with his voice, spoke. Say the word spoke. Spoke. You know, we say things, we speak things, but God spoke it into existence, and it was because of his holiness that he was able to do that, dear people. It blows my mind. And when Augustine realized that out of nothing God created something, it drove him to his knees, and it drove him to his knees. It's driven me to my knees. It just wants me to understand more of the holiness of God. So that's why this message study is for you today. I rarely have ever written out my sermon, but it's written out and beside on the CD. People are not here. But anyway, I've written it out because it is so important that we share with you that God is a consuming fire. So, if I had a match and strike it, it probably set the alarm off, but I strike a match, it's burning, and I put my finger next to it, what's going to happen? Yes, it's going to be pretty bad. God is a consuming fire because of his holiness and because of my sinfulness. And God has told us in his Bible a description of him in beautiful terms like a consuming fire, judge of all the earth, the Lord of Lords, a title which portrays him as head of a battle, like I'll use the word Superman, but you understand what I'm saying? He is there going forth in battle for each one of you, dear people. So I want us to look at the holiness of God. It is a mystery, and to most people, the word holy is like a foreign word to them. Well, it's just sort of foreign to them. So I want to read two scriptures, and then I want to speak to you in four ways. First of all, let's looking at God. Secondly, let's looking at the prophets, at the objects. And then third, let's look at the prophets. And then fourth, we want to look at ourselves. Oh, wow. We should have mirrors. Anyway, the first comes from Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 20. And it reads like this. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty. It just speaks about the wonderful holiness of God in that day, holy to the Lord. And it was beautiful to see that song, and some of you were singing with the words on the screen, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, the word is, I love this, who among all the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness and awesome in glory? So let's look at the Lord. My comprehension of holiness is based upon my senses. When I cut my bangs and all my hair off, the long hair I had, I think I've lost my brain too. I can't wrap my brain around the holiness of God. And this is what I've been working at so hard the last month or so. Who is like you? The Bible says, Moses said, who among the gods is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. So holiness just embraces all of the attributes of Father God. And even the angels worship him too. So I love that word, the beauty of holiness. Say that to me. Beauty of, isn't that beautiful? Say it again. The beauty of holiness. I can't even begin to wrap myself around that. But in 1 Chronicles 16:24, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, what you've done. Come before him, what you've done. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Psalm 96:7. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness again and tremble before him. How many times have any of you ever trembled before God? I think we say, well, look who I am, you know. You're God. Do we respect him? Do we tremble? You know, I will say, sometimes when I'm in my little cabin, I call it a cabin because it's got knotty pine in it. And so when I'm worshiping the Lord, I found myself doing this. I found myself with my legs crossed, and I thought, kneel. How disrespectful. Now, if you came to my home, I would cross my leg and I would talk with you. But for Jesus, if, for example, a person of notoriety would come in my home, would I do this? No. And so I've been putting my leg down because I want to respect the holiness of God. I want to rise my soul into his presence to realize that there's a glory and there's a great splendor in Jehovah God. So let's secondly look at some objects. Are there any holy objects in this room? Holy objects? I got to speak more distinctly. That got me in trouble. May I chase one rabbit? Okay. You should never do this while you drive. Gosh. And so I've been driving for 60 years. Yes, I have. 62 years I've been driving a car. Only got two tickets years ago. But the other day I was in San Luis Obispo. This is my rabbit I want to chase. And so I was talking to this lady in Tennessee. I wanted to enunciate my words and speak distinctly to her. And so I had my phone up like this, and I got nailed. All of a sudden, it's off. Don't worry. Oh, I can't talk to you now. But I got it turned off. So all of a sudden, the red and blue light popped up behind me, and oh my gosh, I got nailed. So he laughs at my car plate, Sun Seeker, and I explained it. I've had many convertibles. It was a play on words, Sun, S-O-N, not S-U-N. So we laughed about that. That didn't help. He still bought me the ticket. But then, I lost my whole train of thought now. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he gave me the ticket. I got to go back where I was. Oh, thank you very much. Here's my notes. Here's what happened. Yes, I was enunciating, and I was trying to speak distinctly to this lady who was very much in need in prayer. And so in doing so, I had my phone up like this. But here's the catcher. I told this officer this, that if you had just waited 4 hours, I was on my way to have a Bluetooth installed in my car so I wouldn't have to use this guy. That didn't do a bit of good. So I got to appear in court and pay $155. That's my rabbit for the day, okay? Now I've lost my whole train of thought. Hi. Would you please tell me where I was? Where was I? Okay, here I was. Anything holy. How in the world did I get off of that? You're kidding. Oh, gosh. Well, I had my first church when I was 19 years old, and I can't believe that. But anyway, here's the deal. What I was trying to say, Neil, was I was asking the people. I know. I was asking the people. Okay. He wants me to ask you, is there anything holy in this place? I can't see the blood. I can't see that other. Is there any object in this building that is holy? That's my conclusion, sir. Just go back to sleep. We'll jump to the end. Okay, I don't see any objects in here that are really holy, I don't see any objects that are here. But the primary meaning of holiness is to be separate, cut apart. And that, of course, is what Almighty God is. The things that are holy things are set apart from the rest of things. And yes, whoever said the Bible is quite true. It would be a holy object. The cross would be a holy object. That's quite true. So when something is holy, it is set apart. And there could be certain things in your home that are set apart. Somebody share, what's in your home that's set apart, that's sort of like holy? It doesn't mean it's God holy, but something that's holy in your room, in your house. What do you have? An auto harp. Okay, that's an auto harp. Anything else that you sort of think is holy? Get your hands off of that. Anything else? Yes, that's right. In my china cabinet, and we're having our anniversary coming up next month, and I always put things out. We have two candles that were on the altar when we were married 2.5 years ago. Figure that one out. And it's not holy. But, you know, people, it's an object that's just sort of been set apart. So when people come in and they see one candle has sort of all been up, that's another story. Anyway, things that are holy. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? Remember this beautiful chest that was made? It had gold rings on the corners, and a pole was pushed through it so that the Levites could lift it up and carry it. You remember that story? Years ago, I gave the baccalaureate address at the King City High School. I was pastor of the King City Church for 29 years, and I had a man build an ark according to the dimensions in the Bible, and we had four men bring the ark in. I was sort of dumb. But the point is that in the ark, we had two stone tablets. Okay. And my sermon that day was telling these high school graduates about the Ten Commandments. But these guys who were Levites, who were carrying the ark, they were not even allowed to look at it. And who remembers the story when King David decided to bring the ark from its resting place to the temple? Remember that story? What was that guy's name, short of the U, that I can't even pronounce? Yes, thank you very much. It's written right here. Okay. He's walking there, and all of a sudden, the ark stumbles. And the ark starts to fall. Now, what would you do? Yes, you would do just what he did. But I'm glad you weren't there, because you know what happened to him. Now, why did he die? He was a good man. But he died because he touched something that was H-O-L-Y, holy, holy, holy. And then recall that when the Ark of the Covenant was in the temple, another beautiful story. Do you realize that behind the Ark, in front of the Ark, there was this V-E-I-L, which spells, all of you know that it was very long and high. We're talking 60 feet by 20 feet. And we're told that they, whoever they are, knew, well, of course, it's historic, that the width of the material, look at your hand, look at the palm of your hand, would you? It was that thick. Now look at the sleeve of your blouse or your shirt. It's very thin, right? Can you imagine people having to move the sections of a of a cloth that was that thick. But you know what happened to it? One day, whoosh, yes. So those were objects that were very holy. Now let's look at the prophets just in passing. A couple of guys come to my mind. We got Daniel. Incidentally, these guys were just regular guys off the street. Well, road, okay? Just regular guys. They were shepherds. They were farmers. Nothing spectacular about them. But God put his hand upon them. And because of that, they become prophets. So as a result of that, we got a guy by the name of Daniel, he could stare down the lions, but when the heavens opened, he swooned. Take Ezekiel, for example. He was overwhelmed by the vision of God. After he witnessed Yahweh's throne chariot lifted into the sky with like the sound of a jet engine, he fell face on the ground. Solomon, another guy, dedicated the temple. The glory of the Lord was so overpowering that there the priest could not even perform their duties. People, could you imagine, which I've prayed for this morning, that the glory of the Lord would come upon us in this sanctuary right now, in our meeting place, that it has happened. In days gone by, in recent days gone by, what we have read and heard, where the Shekinah glory of the Lord has come down and filled the place. Can you imagine the glory of the Lord, like undescribable words, just filling the place. It's my prayer for this place. Well, when the prophets saw that, they just fell at themselves down. Okay, the fourth is this. I want you to look at yourself. I want you to look at yourself in relationship to the holiness of God. You see it on the screen, the holiness of God. Put yourself into that word. Now, I'm told that if a thing reflects no light, it's black. We want to become pure and spotless, for this is the meaning of the white robes, which the saints, any saints here? Of course you're saints. Won't go that way. But yeah, you are saints. You are saints. Say, I'm a saint.
I'm a saint.
Yes, you are. Well, your spouse may not believe it. Your children may not believe it. Your neighbor may not believe it, but you are a saint. You're a saint because you have identified yourself with the Lord. So the beauty of holiness should be beaming through us to our loved ones, to our friends, to our associates. Now I'm told that when all the primary colors in nature come together, they make pure white. So I'm told. So the Bible teaches me that when all of the graces of God come together, then we become more white, more holy in God's sight. Combination of all these graces God has given us. All the primary, put it that way, in taking off on colors, all the primary Christian graces make for a very perfect Christian character. So I'm saying, Neil, yes. Okay, you're supposed to appropriate these Christian graces. And the more Christian graces you have, you will become more holy. That's not being prideful. Because I want to be more holy. I want people to see me shining Jesus. And I guess that is the bottom line. To wrap our minds around the holiness of God, it is possible. And John Calvin said this, men are really never touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majestic nature of God. In other words, we see how holy Almighty God is and how unholy we are. while you said you're a holy people, we still have a long way to go, don't we? Because of our sin nature. Of course, you don't have that. But yes, some of us do have that sin nature. And that sin nature is usually portrayed with the color black. And black is the opposite of white. And we want to become more holy, represented with the white color of purity. Purity, purity, purity. So what is holiness to you? What it is to me? Check this out. Dr. Livingston once asked a guy what he understood the word holiness to mean. The guy answered, "When showers have descended during the night, and all the earth and leaves and earth are washed clean, and the sun rising shows a drop of dew on every blade of grass, and the air breathes fresh," he said, "that is holiness. It's a freshness of the dew." And so, people, the freshness in my life is going to come about when that spiritual dew just falls upon us. So, I'll write in my notes, what is holiness? How do you define holiness? And I say to myself, it is to be clean inside. Put that in capital letters. To be clean inside. Okay, how do you get clean inside? You take a blood bath. So I told a guy not long ago, last time I took a shower, I pretended that I was taking a blood bath. He liked that. He came back a week later and said, "Guess what, Neil? I took a blood bath last night." Symbolic, yes. Important, yes. Because somehow or another, it made an impression upon me that I want to be clean. Okay, dial might do the outside, but what's going to do on the inside? It's the blood, and I heard you sing about that, the blood of Jesus. So the question is, as we close, is even being holy possible? Since God is so holy, can I be holy at all? Well, it's not only possible, but it is a requirement. Say that word, requirement. It is, Neil, okay, listen to me. It is a requirement of your Christian nature, a requirement to be holy, 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 holy. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay, we've been made holy, but not holy, W, holy with the H. We're set apart. You have been set apart. You have been set apart for honorable use. You have been set apart from the world. Problem is, so many of us, including, merge for various reasons, and in our merge, we don't show the light of the holiness that we should be doing. 1 Peter 1:13 and 16, Peter writes to the believers. Any believers here? Okay. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. These are his words. 1 Peter. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus the Christ. And as obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you to be holy. Be holy yourselves in your behavior. Because he goes on to say, a quote from Leviticus is, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." You shall be holy. It is a requirement. So I'm working on my holiness. I'm working on my holiness. And I can't answer how it's being done in simple words. Can't do that. But this I do know. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be more holy, not in a show-off kind of a sense, but just to let people know by my actions, by my words, by my demeanor, that I am trying to be more like Jesus. I guess that's the bottom line, people. More of and more of yes. So in yes, in various degrees, in various degrees, I am looking at holy people. Stamp that in your mind, in your heart. You're holy people. And so live your holiness. Be the holiness. If you're a Christian, Jesus is in you, holy. And he wants us to reflect that. So I'm looking at holy people. If you're saved, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm looking at a holy person. So I would say this. Start your adventure, if you're not a Christian, which we have to say in every message, if you're not a Christian, invite him into your heart just by simply saying, Jesus, come in to my heart, come in to stay, live with me, and save me. And once he saves you, you get on the road to holiness. But to get on the road to holiness, you got to stand and start walking, right? So would you please stand? Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your house. And it has been made holy of the nature of God being here. The holiness of God is here. And we have participated in that holiness. And I thank you, dear Jesus, that as we have participated in holiness, that we would share, because it is a requirement to share the holiness in our actions and our daily life to one another. And let it be said of us here in this assembly, we are going to live a holy life for Jesus. In his name we pray. And I pray, God, that you would just open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon the people. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As you go your holy road to him. Thank you for coming.